Chapter 12. The Final Departure from Galilee. The Raising of Lazarus as the Seventh Sign Miracle of John's Gospel. And our Lord's age on the 20th of April, AD 33, was in Bible years 33 years and 179 days, and in solar years 32 years and 173 days. Read Matthew 19, verses 1 and 2. Mark 10, verse 1, Luke 9, verse 51, and John 11, 1 to 57. The raising of Lazarus took place on Monday the 20th of April, AD 33, exactly 3 weeks, or 21 days, from Monday the 30th of March, which was the date of the Transfiguration. We will explain later how the date of the raising of Lazarus was ascertained from the scriptures. It is quite clear from several scripture statements that our Lord and his disciples left Galilee soon after the Transfiguration. Before leaving, however, he again took occasion to press upon his unresponsive disciples the fact of his approaching death. In Mark 9, 30-32, we read, "And they departed thence, and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples, and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him." Parallel passages are to be found in Matthew 17, verse 22, and Luke 9, 43-45. A little later, our Lord used even more emphatic words on this subject, as may be learned from Matthew 20, verse 17, Mark 10, verse 32, and Luke 18, verse 31. It becomes painfully manifest from the Luke reference that the 12 disciples were totally unable to grasp the significance of their master's words because they were ignorant of those scriptures which foretold his sufferings and death. They were, in fact, wholly occupied with another point of view to that of their master. Before leaving Galilee, the extremely important teachings recorded in Matthew 17 and 18, and Mark 9, were uttered by our Lord. It was also this time that he performed the miracle of the tribute money. In the light of his long and gracious ministry to the Galileans, our Lord's final departure from their country was a most solemn event. Matthew records it in these words, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea, beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." Matthew 19, verses 1 and 2. In Mark 10, verse 1, there is a corresponding statement as to this final departure from Galilee after the Transfiguration. Neither Matthew nor Mark give any details of the journey from Galilee. Luke, however, does so. In chapter 9, verse 51, we read, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And compare Isaiah 50, verse 7. The journey to Jerusalem, which took the Lord through Galilee and Samaria, as we read in Luke 17, verse 11, led first to the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. Luke marks the various stages, as may be seen from the following passages. Chapter 13, verse 22, chapter 17, verse 11, chapter 18, verse 31, and chapter 19, verse 28. It is quite clear from Matthew 19, verses 1 and 2, and Mark 10, verse 1, that our Lord engaged in much public teaching and healing while he was in Perea, beyond Jordan. beyond Jordan before he received the information from Martha and Mary that their brother Lazarus was sick. His arrival in Perea was in the early days of April, AD 33, and his departure therefrom was on the 19th of April, when he left with his disciples for Bethany. We now come to the sickness, death, and resurrection of Lazarus, the fourth and last sign miracle in John's Gospel relating to the people of Israel. It is not a little remarkable that three of the four sign miracles of John's Gospel, which relate to Israel, namely the healing of the man who had been impotent for 38 years, John chapter 5, the giving of sight to the blind man, John chapter 9, and the raising of Lazarus, John chapter 11, were each in turn events which acted like a potent fuel to the fire of official Jewish hatred of our Lord. This reached a white-hot heat as a result of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and caused Israel's rulers in a blind fury to determine at any price to kill him. Consequently, we read in John 11, verse 53, "From that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." See also John 5, 16 to 18, and chapter 10, 31 and 39. And would it not be the same today if anyone were to rise whose influence and teaching exposed the pharisaical bigotry of religious Christendom? As stated above, the raising of Lazarus was the fourth and last of the sign miracles of John's Gospel wrought by our Lord in relation to the people of Israel. It is a fact of the utmost significance that in the raising up again of this people to statehood in the land of Israel on the 14th to the 15th of May, 1948, this preeminent sign miracle of our Lord received in part its antitypical fulfilment. We will give the evidence of Holy Scripture in support of this fact in a note when we have briefly examined the main features of this miracle. When Jesus and his disciples received the message from Martha and Mary that their brother, he whom thou lovest, was sick, they were dwelling in Perea beyond Jordan, which was rather more than a day's journey to Bethany. It has been possible to learn from the scriptures the exact days in the solar calendar referred to in John chapter 11. In the first place, we learned from verse 55 that the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. The date of the Jews' Passover in AD 33, when our Lord was put to death, was Friday the 1st of May, and therefore the 14th day of Nisan in the Jewish calendar. By clear inference, the scripture reveals that the death and resurrection of Lazarus took place exactly 2 weeks before that of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on precisely the same days of the week. In order to convey this fact, John was caused by the Spirit of God to insert the following parenthetical statement, which is verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. No one could fail to realize that topographical information such as this is not in itself of sufficient importance to find a place in Holy Writ. It must have been inserted solely on account of its typical significance, since Bethany's proximity to Jerusalem was well known. Lazarus died and rose at Bethany, and the Lord died and rose at Jerusalem. The 15 furlongs which lay between the two places clearly typifies the 15 days which separated our Lord's death and resurrection from that of Lazarus. In this case, as with all such in the Bible, the clue to understanding is to be looked for in the numerical affinity which exists between the type and the antitype. In Bible terms, 15 days is an inclusive expression of 2 weeks. Lazarus died on Friday the 17th of April and rose on Monday the 20th of April. Our Lord died, as we are about to reveal from Scripture, on Friday the 1st of May and rose on Monday the 4th of May, in exact fulfilment of every statement that he made upon the subject. Inclusively, Friday the 17th of April is 15 days from Friday the 1st of May. And Monday the 20th of April is 15 days from Monday the 4th of May. The messenger sent by the two sisters must have left Bethany on Thursday the 16th of April and reached our Lord on Friday the 17th of April, which was the 29th day of the 12th month, Adar, and the last day of the Bible year. When our Lord had heard about Lazarus, he at once said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Verse 4. Our Lord had foreknowledge of this event, as he had of everything else which lay ahead in his earthly pathway. After receiving the sad news, we are informed that our Lord abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 6. The reason for this may be learned from the following facts. The day upon which our Lord first heard about Lazarus was Friday, the 17th of April. The Jews' Friday was, however, God's Sabbath in divine time. See the summary of facts, paragraph 14. Our Lord, therefore, in accordance with the law, abode where he was that day, and also the next day, which was the Jews' Sabbath. From these facts, it appears evident that our Lord kept both his Father's Sabbath and the Jews' Sabbath. On the day that the messenger reached our Lord, namely Friday the 17th of April, Lazarus died, and according to custom was at once buried in a sepulchre with a stone at its mouth. On Sunday the 19th of April, that is from 6 p.m. on the 18th, after the 2 Sabbaths were passed, our Lord said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." This causes the disciples to say, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Verses 7 and 8. The Lord, in effect, replies that in doing his Father's will, he was as one walking in the light of day, and need fear no man. After declaring plainly, "Lazarus is dead," our Lord continues, "Oh, but I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Verses 14 and 15. Lazarus's sickness and death were no accident, but events foreknown to our Lord, which had a deep symbolic significance. Furthermore, it was that the Son of Man might be glorified in the display of his power over death. The faith of all his disciples would therefore be greatly strengthened at a time when it was about to be most sorely tried by his own death. This is the meaning of the words, "to the intent ye may believe." The 11th of John is a long chapter wholly devoted to the incident of the death and raising of Lazarus. No mention of this event appears in any other gospel, but its importance as a vital feature in the closing scenes of our Lord's pathway on earth will be obvious to all. The home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus was much blessed by the frequent presence in it of Israel's Messiah. Oh, the Lord loved each inmate of it. The sisters had a deep affection for their brother, and their grief at his death was inconsolable. Furthermore, the thought persisted with both sisters. Oh, that if Jesus had only been there, he could have cured the malady that had caused their brother's death. Verses 21 and 32. It was to yield to sheer human despair, to dwell upon what appeared to be the irreparable, in the presence of the one who could say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. Verse 25. But Martha's faith, as regards her brother's resurrection, was limited to the remote future. The Lord, however, presents himself to her as the present source of resurrection life. Mary rises on hearing that the Lord has arrived and goes to the place outside of the town where Martha had met him. Weeping, she casts herself down at his feet with the same lament as her sisters. Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Verse 32. Our Lord groaned in the spirit and was troubled, as he beheld Mary's grief and that of those that were with her who were weeping. Our Lord himself weeps as he beholds the untold sorrow that sin has wrought, for he sees death as the result of sin. After travelling all Sunday, the 19th of April, it was in the morning of Monday, the 20th of April, that our Lord arrived in the precincts of Bethany and was met first by Martha and then by Mary. In due course, he and the sisters and their friends and his disciples made their way to the grave where the body of Lazarus had been buried. None but the disciples, to whom Jesus had said, I go that I may awake him out of sleep, knew the Lord's intention in going to the sepulchre. Most would have judged it to be an expression of his deep sympathy with the sisters. The thought that corruption must have taken place lays hold of Martha, and with it a sense of the utter impossibility of her brother being raised up. She therefore says, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. To this our Lord replies, as if mildly to rebuke her lack of faith in his power to keep his word, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Verses 39 and 40. Our Lord commands that the stone be removed from the cave's mouth, just as 15 days later the stone would be removed from his own sepulchre, that all might see for themselves that he was risen. John 20, verse 1. Our Lord, standing by the open sepulchre, then gives thanks, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verses 41 and 42. These words clearly imply that the raising of Lazarus was to be the final proof of our Lord's messiahship. We are indeed told that many of the Jews that came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Verse 45. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Verses 43 and 44. Resurrection had now become a fact, a living reality, through the intervention of the Son of God, and once again the Bethany house had its 3 occupants. The once grief-stricken sisters had learned how good it was that the Lord was not there when their brother was sick and died. Their brother's death, they now knew, was that the Son of God might be glorified. For them, weeping had endured for a night, but joy had come in the morning. They had indeed seen the glory of God, and their brother's death was an event to subserve that glory. This has not been an occasion for any lengthy comments upon this solemn episode. We have therefore attempted nothing more than to give a brief outline with the chronological data which establishes that the 4 days of Lazarus's death were from Friday the 17th of April to Monday the 20th of April, which was the Jews' third day of Nisan. As we reveal from the Bible in our former treatise, this 20th of April was the 4107th solar anniversary of the start of the 6,000 years of redemption in 4075 BC. The day after the fall of Adam and Eve, who through sin brought death into the world. Furthermore, the 20th of April AD 33 was, according to the calendar based upon the years of the Messiah, the 17th day of the 7th month, which was the date upon which the ark rested upon Mount Ararat, see Genesis 8 verse 4, and which is universally regarded as symbolic of resurrection. In this connection, we may also mention that our Lord's resurrection, which took place on the 15th day after that of Lazarus, was, in the years of his personal chronology, that is, in the years measured from his nativity, again the 17th day of the 7th month. See the chart of the 5 calendars after chapter 13. It is indeed wonderful to contemplate that every event in the Bible took place on a date foreknown to God, if not actually foreplanned by him. And are his children to ignore all such matters, and never know on earth his wondrous manipulations of time, and all its divisions in the display of his glory, and in the execution of his counsels? Nothing is more remarkable than the manner in which God has concealed the time factors in his word. But in this connection, how full of meaning is the scripture, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honour of kings is to search out a matter." Proverbs 25, verse 2. That the time factors of the Bible have to be searched for is proved by the Apostle Peter's words as follows: "The prophets searched diligently what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify." 1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. And finally, a note on the typical significance of the 4 days that Lazarus was in the sepulchre. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. The raising of Lazarus after 4 days in the grave was given to be a sign that, after 4,000 years, the seed of Abraham would again be raised to nationhood in the land of Israel, which God gave as a perpetual possession to Abraham and his seed, as recorded in Genesis 15, verse 18, in these terms: "In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." It is a fact of transcendent significance that from the day that is named in this verse, 4,000 solar years of 365 1/4 days passed to the rise of the state of Israel in May 1948. It will be asked at once how we came to know the date of the covenant, which the Lord God made with Abraham, as recorded in Genesis 15. Well, in the first place, it must be appreciated, as stated in the introduction, that we possessed a perfect knowledge of time in the Bible before writing this present treatise, which would not otherwise have been possible. The date of Abraham's leaving Haran, as recorded in Genesis 12, verse 4, we knew was the 6th of August, 2056 BC, because it was to the day 430 Bible years to the Exodus on the 12th of May, 1639 BC. See Exodus 12, 40 and 41. We also learned that 4,000 Julian years from this date ended on the 2nd of September 1945, when the Second World War officially terminated, 6 million Jews having been cruelly slaughtered by Hitler and his minions. We next noted that the animals which had to be sacrificed when God made his covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15 must each be 3 years old. This appeared to be a veiled intimation that the covenant was made in the 3rd year after Abraham entered the land in 2056 BC. We mentioned at the end of chapter 10 that from the 4th of May AD 30, when our Lord declared, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up," to the 14th of January AD 33, when the Jews figuratively put Jesus to death by stoning, was 2 solar years, 9 months, and 3 days, a period expressing the 2 days and 9 hours that our Lord was in the heart of the earth. We therefore applied this measurement to the period between Abraham's departure from Canaan on the 6th of August, 2056 BC, and the covenant of Genesis 15. After measuring 985 days, that is, 2 solar years, 9 months, and 3 days, from the 6th of August, 2056 BC, we arrived at the date of the 15th of April, 2053 BC. It is to be noted that the making of the covenant took, altogether, 3 days, namely the 15th, 16th, and 17th of April. We then measured forward 4,000 Julian solar years of 365 and a quarter days and discovered that they terminated on the 15th, 16th, and 17th of May in AD 1948, which were the actual days over which the State of Israel came into existence and was recognized by the United States of America and Soviet Russia, the two most powerful nations on the earth. As it is obvious that the 4 days of Lazarus's session in death form a type of some sort, it would be sheer blindness to refuse to see that their antitype is the 4 days of 1,000 years each, which elapsed between the solemn covenant made by the Lord God with Abraham concerning the land of Canaan in Genesis 15, and the 15th to the 17th of May in AD 1948, when the seed of Abraham again became a nation in the form of the State of Israel. It will be seen that in the type we have our Lord's 2 years, 9 months and 3 days, followed by a typical 4 days of Lazarus, as is presented in John's Gospel, and in the antitype, Abraham's 2 years, 9 months and 3 days, followed by the antitypical 4,000 years to the rise of the State of Israel. In chapter 1, we showed that from our Lord's presentation in the temple on the 8th of December 1 BC, we have another expression of the 2 days and 9 hours of his death, in the form of 2,000 Bible years and 9 solar years, to the 15th of May, 1948, when the State of Israel was formed. It is confirmatory of the above facts that the name of Abraham Steward, Eliezer, given in Genesis 15, is the Hebrew spelling of Lazarus. It is also of interest that the acting Chief Rabbi of Britain, which held the mandate over Palestine until May 1948, was also surnamed Lazarus at the time. Like the healing of the cripple in John 5 and the giving of sight to the blind in John 9, this fourth sign miracle relating to Israel also has a sequel. After Lazarus had come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin, Jesus commanded, saying, "Loose him and let him go." This clearly indicates a later stage in Israel's resurrection, when the grave clothes of the dispersion era are removed, and the ability given to see him whom they have pierced. After the raising of Lazarus, our Lord walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. John 11, verse 54. This was because our Lord knew that the Jews had taken counsel to put him to death. Verse 53. When the appointed time arrived, Jesus would allow himself to be taken. But until then, he must preserve himself from becoming a victim of their precipitate action as tools of Satan. We shall open our next chapter with the Lord's visit to Jericho on the Sabbath, the 25th of April and the 8th day of Nisan, when he abode for the day in the house of Zacchaeus. See Luke 19. This was 7 days inclusively before his death on Friday the 1st of May, which was the Jews' 14th day of Nisan and the day of the preparation of the Passover.